Hi, I'm Dr. Wambui, and welcome to the Drug Chat. I think that the human body is intricately created, making us one of the most amazing living things on earth. In this podcast, we explore how the body works and then apply the drugs. My hope is that with this knowledge, we become better healthcare providers, whatever field of medicine you may be in, better caregivers to our patients or to ourselves. We do take medicines from time to time, don't we? All right, let's break it down. Hey guys, and we are back. Today we're going to be doing the last class of the antiretroviral drugs. And obviously these drugs are kept used to keep the HIV virus at bay, not to go everywhere. And the class of drugs we are looking at today are the post-attachment inhibitors. And as you can tell from the name, they must be working somewhere after the attachment, correct? So as always, let's start by giving you a quick recap on how this HIV life cycle happens. So obviously the virus gets into your body and then it has to bind. The virus binds to the CD4 cell and then needs to fuse inside, get inside. And then it goes in and deals with reverse transcription, where it gets into your cell and figures out how it needs to copy and paste and look like your machinery for replication. And therefore it replicates. Then all these little things that have been replicated assemble. And voila, we have new viruses and they bud out and they go and spread their gospel to the rest of your body and obviously infect everything else. So the place of action of this post-attachment inhibitors is at that place where they are binding. There's a binding of the CD4 receptor on the host. Basically, the virus and the CD4 are binding, right? So what these drugs do, they block the CD4 receptor that's on the outside of the CD4 cell, right? So that the virus does not gain entry into the cell. And I'm sure you're thinking to yourself, well, that's not so special. All the other ones that we've done other classes that block fusing and binding. What's so special about this? Well, these drugs, they do not stop the binding of the virus to the CD4. However, they prevent the structural shift required by the GP120 so that the virus can open the doors. So the virus can enter into the cell. I know, I've just said a lot of mumbo jumbo and you're confused and you're thinking, okay, say that in English. So let me break it down so that I can also impress you with this beautiful research scientist. They're really amazing. So the CD4 cell has different places on it for attachment. It has domains. So four domains or four different areas that attachment can happen. And they are named D1 to D4, right? Domain 1, domain 2, domain 3, domain 4. So, and all these domains they have different areas they can attachment can occur. So as you can imagine, these four have different functions, right? There are four domains and there must be different things that they're doing and different attachments that might be going on. And we're not going to get into all that. We're just going to focus on the two that have to do with our HIV virus here. And those are domains 1 and 2. So the virus attaches to domain 1 on the CD4 cell. And once that happens, usually the doors open and the virus can get in. Now, the post-attachment inhibitor drugs, they attach to domain 2. So as you can see, this drug is not stopping the virus from attaching. So virus goes to domain 1, drug goes to domain 2. So how is that helping? So when this domain 2 attachment happens with the drug, there's a structural change that happens on the CD4 cell. I mean, it's like those sci-fi movies, right? So the CD4 cell changes. And when that change occurs because of that drug attaching to domain 2, then something happens that the door for the virus to enter does not happen. So you can imagine the virus is, you know, when the virus attached to the CD4 cell, it was like, hallelujah, we are attached. And then the doors don't open. And there it is, looking around, trying to figure out, okay, we are attached, right? Check. The door is supposed to open, check, but it doesn't. So what they don't realize is that the post-attachment inhibitors have changed the structure of the CD4 cell, and now the door cannot open. Isn't that amazing? That fine, you can go ahead and attach yourself, not a problem, but this drug comes in and now attaches to another part of the CD4 cell, and now the door can't open because it just changed how the CD4 structural changes in the CD4 cell. I'm telling you, it's like a sci-fi movie. Somebody should take this up. All right. So there are two drugs in this class, and the first one is ibalizumab. Ibalizumab. Yeah, IBA. So it is the first monoclonal antibody to be approved for the treatment of HIV. And it is indicated for patients who have received other drugs, other ARV drugs, and they didn't work, or they have resistance to many of the ARV drugs that are available, or they are failing their current ARV drugs. So in a nutshell, this drug is indicated for highly treatment experienced patients with multi-drug resistant infection. Basically, they're failing on their current regimen. So it's almost like the last mile kind of thing. So everything else is not working. And so come in ibalizumab. It comes as an injection. And the common side effects reported are diarrhea, dizziness, nausea, and rash. The metabolism of ibalizumab does not have any significant impact on the liver or the kidney. So it's given as a loading dose of 2,000 milligrams and then followed by 800 milligrams every 14 days. Which is awesome because then that means, you know, it can be given with other drugs, but then you can imagine that it reduces the amount of other drugs that you're taking because it's been taken in combination, loading dose, and then every 14 days you come in for the maintenance dose of 800 milligrams. So the second drug in this class is Fostemsavir. It's also approved. Let me say it again. Fostemsavir. It is also approved for heavily treatment-experienced patients that have multi-drug resistant, they are failing their current regimen, or they have resistance, intolerance. So that's, again, it's very similar to ibalizumab, that it's for highly treatment-experienced patients, right? Now, interestingly, this drug is a prodrug, with the active metabolite being temsavir. So the drug is fostemsavir, and the active part is just the last part of that word, temsavir. Okay. Now this one acts a little differently from the ibalizumab. This one prevents the viral connection to the CD4 by directly blocking or inhibiting the GP120. So then there's no interaction between the virus and the CD4 receptors and no attachment occurs. So if there's no attachment, then the doors don't open. And if the doors don't open, the virus cannot get in and replicate. And so your body gets rid of this virus because it's not doing anything. It cannot spread its gospel. So in addition to the fact that it drops the GP120, I'm sure you're wondering, well, but this is supposed to be post-attachment. This is not post-attachment. This is before attachment, right? Which is true. But in addition to this drug blocking the GP120 and therefore the virus not getting in, it can also inhibit any post-attachment steps that are required so for the virus to enter the host cell. Because remember, when the virus binds to the GP120, there are the steps that are that occur so that the door can open for the in the host cell for the virus to get in. So in addition to this drug for Stemsavir blocking the GP120, it also stops any other steps that occur when attachment happens for the virus to gain entry into the host cell. So I guess that's why we also put them here in the post-attachment, because it still has some post-attachment work. So for Stemsavir is excreted in the urine and the feces. And this one comes as a 600 milligram extended release tablet that is given twice a day. The most common side effect for this is nausea. Now, when it comes to contraindications or things to look out for or monitor with this drug, let's pay attention here. It is contraindicated in those patients that are taking pretty strong CYP3A inducers. A couple of examples of these kinds of drug are carbamazepine and rifampin, because these drugs significantly decrease the concentration of Stemsavir, and therefore then there's a loss in virologic response. So if you give for Stemsavir with carbamazepine, what you're definitely going to see is that the amount of Stemsavir that's in the body is very little, and therefore it's not going to be able to block the virus from getting into your system. Okay, so do not give to patients who are taking strong CYP3A inducers. Okay, another thing to monitor with for Stemsavir is patients with a history of QTC prolongation or are on any other QTC prolonging medications. You need to, so for this patient, obviously, get the baseline, monitor the baseline, and throughout therapy, look for the signs and symptoms of QTC prolongation. Okay, so that's, then the last one that I would say definitely monitor is for those patients who have hepatitis B or hepatitis C, because this drug can elevate the hepatic transaminases. So if you already have a liver that's not working well, this drug will make it worse. So there needs to be caution when using this. So those with QTC prolongation or taking drugs that prolong QTC, those with Hep C or Hep B, the elevated transaminases, you need to be careful about this. So that's for Stemsavir and ibalizumab, which are in a class of drugs called post-attachment inhibitors, another novel way of getting rid of or keeping this HIV virus at bay, and pretty encouraging for scientists all around to come up with different ways of beating this disease. So that's it. That is the HIV drugs. This has been exciting. We will do a little recap next time just to make sure that we can remember how this all went down. All right. Till next time. Have a great time.
I am Dr. Wamboi, and thanks for listening to this episode of The Drug Chat. If you haven't already, go ahead and subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts, and remember to share with your friends. Until next time, stay inquisitive. Bye.